Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Very good morning,
Mike. Pretty reasonable numbers on the dairy, which is good.
Yeah, not bad. There's been plenty of talk about an export-led recovery because, well, it won't be a tourism-led recovery, will it? And, of course, primary produce, very key part of that export ecosystem. So we're keeping a pretty close eye on pricing. And overnight, we have the latest global dairy trade auction results. Leading into it, we did get a bit of a rise in the milk powder futures contract. So there was that was a positive indicator going in and proved to be a good lead. So at the headline level, global dairy trade index is up 1.8%. The last auction, just as a reminder, it was down 2%. That was 2 weeks ago. So we've reversed and negated that dip. So that's all good. Look straight to the milk powder results. Skim milk powder up 2.5%. Whole milk powder is up 1.8%. So both good gains. Skim milk powder still well off the highs we saw pre-COVID back in January. We had average prices there over $3,000 a US metric ton. But we have seen a strong recovery from those peak COVID despair numbers, you know, around March, April there. Whole milk powder average prices back up over $3,000, also still off, well off the pre-COVID highs, but they are steady. I do want to mention the currency here, Mike, though, because for our exporters, the currency is not really moving in the right direction, and we'll have a quick chat about that later on if we have time. Also, a little cautionary note about these reintroduction of lockdown measures, particularly over there in the Northern Hemisphere. Hopefully that's a short-term problem, but the question is there potential for this to affect demand for some of those products?
Interesting week for Tesla. Elon's got COVID and the rocket landed, and he's on the S&P 500 at last.
Well, has he got COVID or hasn't he? I think
they concluded he had a mild dose.
A mild dose. He said he was being testable multiple times a day. Well, that's rather odd, isn't it? But anyway, we haven't spoken about Tesla for a while. We've seen plenty more of them on the roads, though, aren't you, Mike? And, you know, given that they're a pricey item, it says that
plenty of threes out there.
Hey?
Plenty of the Model 3 out there.
Yeah, it's all part of the inevitable shift to electric vehicles, Mike. You know that. I just changed my car, Mike. I haven't made the shift yet. It's only a matter of time.
What have you gone down to a 4.7 V8 from a 5-litre?
Yeah, well, yeah, and you've got to put the 95 in it. Now, but a coming of age for Tesla, it's coming into the S&P 500 index. It almost got there in September, now going in just in time for Christmas on December the 21st. The issue here, though, Mike, actually is the sheer size of Tesla. Tesla has a market capitalization of about $417 billion, so it's a lot bigger than companies normally are when they move into the S&P 500. So it's going in with a size sort of similar to Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway or a company like Johnson & Johnson. So it may have to go in two stages, which has never happened before. Share price did pop higher, up around 8% at the moment. Was a little bit higher earlier on. It has been widely talked about, but a positive for the Tesla share price.
And, of course, the RB taking heat from everyone these days.
Yeah, I just want to quickly talk about this RBNZ conundrum. I mean, it's fair to say the central bank is coming under a significant amount of inspection, I think would be the word. Not only domestically, but there's been a bit of offshore commentary about the RBNZ as well. Put simply, here's the conundrum. The mandate for the Reserve Bank, Mike, CPI inflation target and promoting maximum sustainable employment. There's a parallel obligation to ensure financial stability. Right now, we've got this focus on surging house prices. But at the moment, are those house prices affecting inflation? Not yet. They may. Is it affecting employment? Not yet. It may if we see a building boom, which is what they want to see. Is it affecting financial stability? That's probably more subjective. The answer to that, though, or the response to that, there probably doesn't help first-time home buyers, does it?
No.
Because if they try and, you know, if they try and put the LVRs back on, it doesn't help. So the conundrum, what do they do? Do they pull back on their monetary policy bias? Well, what would that do, Mike? That would put significant upward pressure on the currency. That doesn't help the export-led recovery. The trade-weighted index already well above the RBNZ forecast point. So this debate is fascinating. It has some time to play out, but they have a problem. They have a conundrum.
Numbers, please.
The Dow Jones, 29,000. This retail sales was a bit weaker, so we're seeing the US markets off a little bit. 29,818, down 133 points. It's about 0.44%. The S&P 500 also down 0.4%, 3612. The NASDAQ down 7 points, 11,916. Overnight, the FTSE 100, 6365, down 56. The Nikkei, 26,014, up 108 points. Shanghai Composite down 8, 3339. The ASX 200 gained 14 points yesterday. That's about 0.2%. 6498 was the close. On the local market, the NZX 50, 12,765, up 0.16%. On the currencies, on the wholesale markets, 0.6888 against the US, 0.9436 Aussie, 0.5807 Euro, 0.5199 pounds, 71.77 yen. Gold is trading at $1,885.96. Brent crude, $43.25.
You have a great day, mate. See you tomorrow from jomiwealth.co.nz.